call you.
I just texted her.
Might as well move your name tag too, dear.
It's my first time I've done this. I apologize.
You're gonna be awesome.
If she shows up, I'm definitely going to relinquish my seat.
You'll be great.
I'm Dr. Katz, and these are the members of the Animal Control Board. Are we doing the case first? Or are we?
Well, actually, I'd go by the, you know, first of all, just open the meeting.
This is new. We're doing the minutes now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that just is a preliminary.
Okay. Item. Some now, of the stuff is new. I apologize.
And just by way of explanation, the minutes, they go back to 2012. Well, there may not be a majority of you who were here in 2012, but you do not have to have been present at that meeting to approve them. All you're approving are very basic action items that, and I know all the minutes were sent. So as long as you're confident that this reflects the basic action items, they can all be approved, and certainly if you have any changes, so.
This is sort of one of us first, I approve the minutes, somebody seconds it, and we are done.
Mm-hmm.
I approve the minutes as of, that they were stated from 2012 through 2017.
You
have to do one at a time.
It's probably better to do them one at a time.
I will do one at a time.
But you do not have to.
We've never done this before, I apologize.
Part of that is giving people a chance for any corrections on any of them. And
I have not seen any corrections when I look through them. So I approve the minutes as of, does anybody have any questions on the minutes from that I've stated from 2012?
No.
2012?
No.
2015?
No.
2007, February 2017?
No.
November 16th, 2017.
Nope.
November 21st, 2017.
Nope.
As stated, I recommend approving the minutes as stated. I need a second.
Second.
Anybody against it?
No.
This was quick. Minutes are approved.
Okay. The record would reflect 4-0 approval of all 5 of the minutes.
Okay. Case. We have Steinhorn versus City of Gaithersburg. This is about Carson. How many witnesses do we have? Everybody.
One witness.
And you are?
Jeff Steinhorn.
Okay.
Where's the witness? Because they can't sit.
None of the witnesses can stay. Okay. And respond.
Good evening. I'm Liv Ward. I'm the Gaithersburg City Attorney. I'm representing the Animal Control Manager this evening. We will have four witnesses.
Four witnesses. Okay. At this point in time, I would like the witnesses. You're going first, so if you have one witness, normally they go first?
Correct.
Thank you. Appreciate that. all witnesses need to leave except for yours, because your witness will be talking first.
Okay.
So your 3 witnesses will need to step outside.
Four witnesses.
Actually, what I'd like to do, why don't we just do this real quick first? All witnesses, please stand up. I'm just going to have you sworn in, so we can just get that out. This out now, so we don't have to do it every time somebody comes in. Give me a helmet.
We don't have a cheat sheet, Linda. So
I used to.
You need some procedural help here.
I used to have one. Hold on.
I'm gonna need a cheat sheet too.
Virginia should tell me next time she's not gonna be here. I could prepare.
She's okay.
I don't have it, but it's basically, do you solemnly swear to tell under perjury that the testimony you give is the truth so far as you know?
What she said.
can I throw one question?
Raise your hands.
Can I have one question of clarification before
Please.
You swear the witnesses? Mr. Steinhorn, will you be presenting or testifying?
Yes, I'm doing the press.
So you're going to need, you please stand also.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
One more time.
You're putting me on the spot.
You put me on the spot with about 2 minutes notice.
I wasn't, not my fault.
Well, the statement would be and if you agree that you would say that's what it is, I hereby swear and affirm that the testimony and information that I give is the is the entire truth to the best of my knowledge.
Yes. Excellent, thank you. Everybody's okay. Sworn in. Your first witness can stay. The other three or four people need to wait outside. We'll call them
and
one
I do at a time. One additional question of clarification.
Yes.
It's been long-standing practice that the individual whose decision is being appealed, being Mr. Law, that he is the city's representative and he'd be allowed to stay.
Sounds
good. Here.
Yes, please.
By way of process, I don't know if it's helpful. If you want to, Mr. Chair, clarify, you can do opening statements by each individually. You can do them both at the same time. Totally up to you. Just so
the
they know what's coming.
In the past, we would basically have opening statement from the complainant, opening statement from the city, and then we'll go to the witnesses.
There you go.
So.
Thanks, and I do. Sorry.
Please.
Sorry that I keep bringing up procedures. In accordance with the Animal Control Board hearing procedures, initially would be preliminary matters, and the city does have one preliminary matter.
Let's go with the preliminary matter first.
Thank you. Members of the board, at this point, the city would move to dismiss the appeal that is before you this evening. This case arises out of a dog bite situation that occurred on August 14, 2018. Following the investigation of that occurrence, Trevin Law, the manager of Animal Control Services, deemed the appellant's, the Steinhorn's dog Carson, as a potentially dangerous animal. The notice of that designation was served on the Steinhorn's via a letter of August 20th, 2018. That is exhibit number 4 in your packets, but I do have additional copies. You will note in that letter of designation in the first paragraph, the dog Carson was deemed potentially dangerous under the City Code Chapter 4, Section 45A, Subsections 1 and 2. The Steinhorns then did request an appeal in this case, which is also in your packet, but I do have additional copies as well.
I don't need that.
I'm looking at the same thing.
Thank you.
If you look at the second page of the request for a hearing before the Animal Control Board, you will note at the top it does say under the initial header, the Animal Control Board will address only those allegations which you have checked off below. And when you look below, the Steinhorn checked box number 3A. That the animal has chased or approached a person or another domestic animal in a threatening manner or otherwise menaced a person or another domestic animal in a manner exhibited by aggressive or attack behavior. That corresponds directly with the language that is in the City Code Section 4-5A1. I will also provide you with a copy of the City Code provisions, so you may review that.
May I state that when I filled that application out, that was the choice, the only choice that I could do considering the letter. Okay. I'm not admitting.
It's just saying, you'll have, if you'll let me complete my arguments, then you will have the opportunity to respond. As I was stating, subsection A on the application corresponds directly with the language that's in section 4-5A1. On the following page of the application is B. The animal has a known propensity, tendency, or disposition to attack without provocation persons or other domestic animals in a manner which threatens the health and safety of such persons or other domestic animals. That directly mirrors the language in section 4-5A2 of the city code. In the letter designating Carson as potentially dangerous, he was cited under both sections 1 and 2. And in the appeal to the board, the Steinhorns have only chosen to appeal on section A, not on section B. As a result, no matter what this board would determine, the allegations for section 4-5AB are not before this board this evening for consideration, as the Carsons did not, or excuse me, as the Steinhorns did not include that allegation in their appeal. As a result, we believe that this issue is moot, because regardless of what this board would find on the first finding under section 4-5-1A, there would still be an unappealed finding of that Carson is potentially dangerous under the second section here. And for that reason, we believe that this hearing is moot. There's no need to go forward because there's not an active appeal on one of the findings that Carson is potentially dangerous, and we would request that the appeal be dismissed.
I have a question. I don't know if it's appropriate to ask now or later.
I'd ask now, because at this point we're trying to find
this
out what we're
doing. If I'm familiar with the record, I believe I am. I was reading it. In one of the testimonies, it was mentioned that the other dog growled. Now, it says here, 4-5-2, without provocation. And if that growling is in the evidence, that would be with provocation, which might be why this gentleman has not included it in his appeal this evening. So does that change anything, Frank? Do we know? Does that change anything? If there was provocation, then 2 doesn't fit.
Well, it's not a question of, that's based on the evidence and based on your findings and the hearing and as you review it.
Mm-hmm.
There may be other elements of evidence that you'll want to look at as well.
Yes.
The motion's based on what's actually being appealed. And the appeal document, as is being argued, now you've only heard from,
yes,
from the city side of it, but the appeal starts with the appeal petition, that is what is known as the complaint, and that's specifying this is the grounds upon which we're appealing. This is what we're putting in issue. So the issue of some of the evidence is not quite there. It's more, what are we talking about tonight?
And does the owner of the animal want to revise? Can that be done tonight, or do we have to all come back another night?
At this point in time, I would feel that if we're talking about one item, it's probably going to be leading to the other items. It's all going to be sort of brought out tonight, which I think that there's reasonable that we can sort of discuss, even though it wasn't brought up. It's all going to sort of dovetail into one and the other.
You might want to hear what he's got to say. That could be certainly your judgment as to.
I would say we proceed and hear what he has to say.
Certainly.
I agree.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Stein, you're up.
First of all, thank you for that interpretation. It's certainly an oversight. I'm not a lawyer. I certainly would have made that reference, I assure you. Animal Control Board volunteers, we thank you for your service. Dr. Katz, I know you took time away from your Money Branch veterinary service. Dr. Stiles, you're a business community representative. You have a dentistry practice in the community in which we live. We are here because of our love for our canines. While this venue is required in order to appeal the potentially dangerous animal charge levied against Carson, it is truly a shame that it must be used in order for specific neighbors to better understand our viewpoints, as opposed to them expressing their unvetted viewpoints through social media. We were and continue to be open to direct dialogue as the responsible way to have handled appropriate situations. We want to go on record as recognizing Becky Green's affidavit, shown in exhibit number 6, as the only one relevant to the incident, as stated in the citation letter of exhibit number 4. Accordingly, we respectfully request witness testimony be limited to only this incident. This is in accordance with your rules of procedure, section 7, item 4J, stating the board will only hear and consider arguments, witness, and evidence as directly related to the specific allocation at issue. Now let's talk about the speck in time, because that is the incident. There's a misguided belief that we've owned many pit bull breed mixes over our 24 years in the Kentlands. Exhibit number 12, a letter from our veterinarian of over 30 years, states that Carson is the first pit bull breed we've ever owned. We've adopted Carson from the county shelter as a result of our own daughter's rescue activities in this area. We've decided to help remove the prejudice associated with this canine type. Here's a summary of what happened in the incident charge. Details are contained in Bridget's, yes, my wife, affidavit.
Yes.
I made an objection, so if you can let hear my objection and then you'll
be
allowed to continue.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Maybe I should have objected louder. I do understand that the rules of evidence are relaxed in this case, but Ms. Steinhorn, who was present at the time of the incident, here is present here today, but has chosen not to testify. I do have an objection to hearsay evidence that Mr. Steinhorn has no personal knowledge of what happened during this incident.
Mr. Steinhorn, you were not there?
No, I was not there. I offered my wife's testimony and that affidavit as what did happen. I was named as the, I don't know the technical term, to be able to give such testimony, and we chose to use this mechanism.
I would say at this point, this would probably be something for a closing statement on something like that, but at this point, you're supposed to be giving, as far as an expert or somebody that you are talking about at that incident, I would probably talk, you can talk about the incident, but we're taking it as hearsay.
Okay.
And I'd probably keep it short, because I'd rather hear you, what some other things you're saying, and what you're saying as far as only relating to the incident. You're here to advocate for your dog.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to be talking about what you know about your dog. You're going to be presenting information and evidence from veterinarians and other people that have read through your packet on how well your dog goes and what your dog is like and what you think your dog is like, just like there's going to be other people probably talking tonight about other things related to your dog that might not be specific to this incident. We are looking at the big picture.
Yes, sir. But I'm not sure I understand that last statement.
You can't really talk about the incident if you are not there.
Bridget, have you reviewed everything that we've done in your agreement book?
Yes.
Excuse me, Ms. Steinhorn was not sworn nor is signed up to be a witness this evening.
So at this point, Ms. Steinhorn is not a witness. She's already been listening to you. If she was going to be a witness, she could have been, you could have called her, sworn, we could have sworn her in. She could have been your first witness.
Oh, yes, sir. I understand.
So at this point,
she didn't recognize the situation because of the way the letter was addressed to us. This, from Officer Law, that's all. Because it used both of our names.
Yes, because you both own the dog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But only one of you is a witness. So it's okay if you want to talk about your dog's disposition.
Oh, I will.
And all of those things. But anything related to testimony about the incident, you can't speak to because you weren't there.
Right.
That's what Dr. Katz is trying to say.
She needed to be a witness.
Yeah, she needed to be a witness, and now she's already
heard
some of the proceedings.
She should have been called as a witness.
Well, I will continue in the capacity that you suggested. Okay?
Yeah.
The dogs were properly controlled.
Objection. It's no personal knowledge.
Okay, let me just
get this right. I guess there's no way we're going to be able to get around this.
Right.
Let him talk. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but...
I'll just note for the record that I have a continuing
that
objection.
That is totally... I hear from the record. Thank you. We're going to have to sort of get an idea on what happened that day, even though at this point it is him talking through hearsay.
And the, I will say the rules do provide that even if say hearsay is taken, that that fact will be considered as well, that what you're hearing is hearsay, not personal knowledge.
Continue as you were.
Okay. Well, during morning walks, two properly controlled canines happened to cross paths, and a dog squab ensued. During human conversation, our downstate dog, Carson, saw body language from Jackson indicating play. After Carson broke loose to play, Jackson's body language changed to provocation from Jackson's unintentional leash aggression in the form of growling and snarling, further fueled by Becky screaming. Leash aggression, leash reactivity, leash lunging are behaviors that are caused by a dog feeling strained, frustrated, uncomfortable in a social situation while attached to a leash. I have a reference here. Carson secured Jackson in a submission grip, which could not be surrendered as a result of this leash aggression. In normal circumstances, an unleashed dog...
Carson did what?
Well, a dog squabble ensued, and he held onto the neck of Jackson. I call that a submission grip. Now, in normal circumstances, an unleashed dog would be able to put distance between himself and that fear source. But if the same dog is leashed and unable to increase that distance, he reacts defensively in the hope the fear source will go away. Both parties handled the incident in a mature manner. Jackson was treated, released by a veterinarian. There was no human injury. Now, the valid board witness affidavits submitted, I believe, support this belief. I would like to look at the affidavit of exhibit number 6 that's submitted by Becky Green in order to reinforce that statement. She stated her dog, Carson, got into a laying down position, which I assume meant he was passive. Carson was in a down state position. He learned it in obedience training. He was waiting for a proper release command as Jackson passed. The implication is that there was no imminent contact without some form of provocation. In this same affidavit, I don't think I finished that sentence before Carson broke free from her and charged at Jackson. Well, Carson released himself based on visual signs from Jackson indicating a desire to play. There was four leash pulling.
Carson released himself, or did you release Carson?
No, I admit, we do admit, that Carson, and you'll see later on why, released himself because he wanted to play, seeing friendly play signs.
And Carson was not on a leash?
Oh, he was absolutely on a leash, sir. Absolutely.
On you, leash, were holding, you were holding on to
my,
the leash?
Bridget was holding the leash.
Your wife
and,
was holding on to the leash.
And also on an e-collar, which we understand is not a form of control in the city of Gaithersburg. Jackson's forward leash pulling, along with his wiggling and wagging tail, signaled Carson, I think, during human conversation, the two women exchange conversation. Is your dog friendly? Does he like to play? There was conversation. The leash hold on Carson broke because of Carson's response to the friendly play signs. It's unfortunate the way it happened. We admit it happened. He's a strong dog. Pit bull breeds are strong animals. Becky says, I was screaming very loud, at which point two neighbors came to help. Well, the restraint placed on Jackson triggered this leash aggression, and he was not able to increase distance away from Carson's approach to play. And Jackson acted defensively in a provoking manner by growling and snarling and screaming that were heard by the dogs fueled the situation further. So Carson just tried to protect himself using a submissive grip. Now, the neighbors that heard the screaming, they were never close enough to witness the squabble because they appeared on the scene after the canines were separated. He has several bite marks and is on oral and topical medication. Well, the veterinary treatment of sustained wounds were of a nature to allow healing in short order. In other words, we see no sutures. They were follow-up email contact with Becky regarding statuses of Jackson. We communicated back and forth. It's the responsible thing to do. We paid for the veterinary bills. It's the responsible thing to do. His physical wounds are healing. It was in her email. In her last message, dated August 20th, she stated, I'll let you know if anything changes. Facts. Well, I would have appreciated it if the dialogue continued, but I respected that statement. We've heard nothing further from Becky, and we hope Jackson's made a full recovery. I would assume if he hadn't, we may have heard, we would have heard. This is my speck of time analyzed, but Carson's more than just a speck of time. As extracted from exhibit number 2 of your agenda package, page 101, Nancy French, the owner trainer of Dog Sense Unlimited.
Objection. Mr. Steinhorn indicated that he was requesting that this, the testimony in this hearing be limited only to this incident. We would request, make the same request that his testimony be limited only to this incident.
At this point in time, I'd sort of, we're trying to get a sense on what the dog's like. So we're
right,
to
and
allow
that's
it.
Why I did this. More than a speck of time. This incident happened so quickly that it's people are unable to make what we feel is an adequate judgment call to this animal's behavior. That's why I promise you, this is only less than 2 minutes. My presentation
you can
was
continue.
Only 18 minutes long.
You
I know
can continue.
It will be. May I?
Please.
Continue? I'm only extracting parts of this. The evidence has been submitted to you as exhibits. Okay?
We can actually, at this point in time, we've read the citations and letters from Dog Sense. We've
Wonderful.
Read the letters and that are in the packet from
okay.
your veterinarian. We don't need to continue. You
don't
oh, need
good,
to talk
good,
about
because that'll shorten the time.
Yes.
So you see that he
We
had
see
that.
The letter from Gaithersburg Animal Hospital. We see the Dog Sense. We're good.
You see the therapy that he's been actively
We see eye care.
The therapy.
We saw that he's been to the hospital for pet therapy.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And in open daycare. Now, in open daycare, there's where an animal would learn how to play with other animals that are receptive, that are not held tightly by leash. Here he is in open daycare, and you can see him playing very simply. Nice wagging tail. None of these dogs are being restrained by a leash. You can see that he offers a toy, that he wants to play with these dogs. This is a very short video. I'm skipping over all that stuff at your request. Take note of his body language in that video. I hope you did, because he's had a wagging tail. There's evidence of no signs of aggression whatsoever.
Can you
do me a favor?
I would love to see that video one more time.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll be happy to show you that video. I'm so sorry. Somehow I ended up. I can do it. I can do it by doing this. We'll get there. Here we go. Are you having trouble not identifying him? I hope you can identify him. Mm-hmm. Right there, you can see, surrounded by different animals. Would you like to see it again?
No, I'm good.
In your very own park here in Gaithersburg, he plays with breeds similar to himself, and he swims and he plays with dogs larger than himself. This is a very nice privilege, by the way, to have a dog park where we can let our dogs off lead. The veterinarian clearly showed that he has no aggression. I now have my expert witness testify?
Your opening statement.
Excuse me?
You're next. As far as, again, I'm new at this.
I would have the ability to cross-examine Mr. Steinhorn, and then we would go to the expert witness, and then I'll put him on case.
Please do.
Would you like me to continue, and then we can pick this up after I'm
No, no. If you're done, ready to call your witness, she is going. At this point, are you
well,
done?
Excuse me, ma'am.
The way it is you would have your opening statement. She would ask you questions.
I say.
And then you would call your witness.
Yes, it's the opening statement is 30. Okay, I understand. In that case, then I will call her when I'm finished, which
Keep
is
on.
Very quick.
Thank you.
Quickly, very quick. Okay. We have witness opinion petitions. We have neighbors and friends that have supported us. They're not all here. They signed petitions that have been submitted as evidence saying that the common theme is they've never observed any behavior that they would consider to be aggressive. I would like to propose to you an action plan.
That would be a closing statement if there's an action plan.
Okay, I can save that for a closing statement. We've actually started to follow this action plan.
It's part of the evidence.
It's actually part of the evidence. If it's the same stuff that's in here, it's already part of the evidence.
Yes, it is, but we've already started to do some things. As a matter of fact, there's a video here of Carson in aggression training, and you'll notice that that animal, Carson's in a downstate position. Watch how the trainer works to distract Carson from his downstate. His dog acts in an aggressive manner. In fact, the takeaway here is that he didn't provoke Carson because there was no reaction. When leash aggression was exhibited by Jackson, Carson was close enough to be provoked by Jackson after he demonstrated a willingness to play from afar. When approached, Jackson could not escape, and he started to exhibit provocative behavior in the form of growling. Now, you don't see that here, because in this video, that dog, very aggressive, mind you, nowhere near my dog, nowhere near Carson. We went there for this purpose, following one of our action items in our plan that we proposed to work with our dog. I don't need to necessarily go any further if this is your desire. We are going to use this dual handle leash, which we should use, a short leash and a long one. We do use an e-collar, but we understand this is not something acceptable to the city. We will continue to socialize.
You're using the Elizabethan collar to...
We keep Carson on a leash, but we also use this e-collar. We understand the city doesn't sanction, it's a controlling factor for dogs, but for a dog, but it does work, unfortunately.
You're using that to...
Only when we first use it as a vibration mode. We would never shock the dog unless it was really a problem.
And when are you using this?
We never use it. We usually walk them on a leash.
Why?
Just in case. The reason we purchased this item was, and trained them, we took them to training, but should he escape from the leash, we would be able to use it. Now, unfortunately, in this circumstance, when he did escape, my wife was trying to find the leash and step all over the leash. She did the best job she could. Believe me, in 30 seconds, which was that speck of time, she failed to use the item properly. And for that, I mean, I'm sorry it happened, but
and this is supposed to, if he's off leash, it's supposed to do what?
With an e-collar, if the dog is off leash, This has a half a mile range, and I can signal that dog from a half a mile away to come back, provided he's trained properly to do this. We would use it should he escape from a leash hold. Now, obviously, it didn't happen the way it should have happened. In fact, the transmitter should have been in my wife's hand, should it have happened. This was an unexpected thing. This dog was not at large. We did not anticipate this to happen. He was trained to go in a downstate position, which he always did. There's other people in the neighborhood who've seen this dog, and they walk right by him. A lot of them ask, is he friendly? Can he play? We do not like when animals approach us with a forward, you consider a leash to be controlling a dog, but it doesn't matter if the dog looks like he's gonna rip the shoulder off a person. When they come up to me, And they're a lot of don't follow proper dog etiquette. They just, oh, is your dog friendly? They just right in the dog's face. Well, Carson was trained in a downstay. We told people to pass. They usually listen, and their dogs walk by. Then we would release the dog and walk it, and then we'd walk it. The fact that the leash escaped my wife is a very unfortunate incident. The most fortunate thing is that there was no human injury, and the dog squabble that ensued, to the best of my knowledge, I believe that Jackson is okay. You know, he's not any more injured. He's a lively dog. I would venture to say the dogs would play together, quite honestly, under the right circumstances. We will continue to socialize Carson with canines in his control play groups using your dog park. There's your dog park. We also are very concerned to know that the social image presented by pit bull breed mixes, we won't be able to continue to inform interested passersby that such prejudice during walks, you know, when he's in a downstate position, that these dogs are born inherently good. You know, this is the first time we've ever done it. I'm not suggesting that I would run out and necessarily do it again. We've had many different dogs, but never a breed like this. You have a copy of the action plan. I'm more than happy to give it to you. If you don't have it, I have copies for your review.
You done?
Yes. You know, I could say, I mean, based on Carson's exemplary training.
Again, you're going to have a closing statement.
Yeah, I would like this to be part of my closing statement.
Then when did you hold?
Then I'll hold back on that. However, I would like to, excuse me, because I just have to find what my notes were. I would like to note for the record that our testimony took less than, actually, I've been timed as 21 minutes. It could have been a lot shorter, believe me. And you make very, by the way, very, very important points. As an attorney, you understand the law better than me as a lay person. I'm sorry, that's all I can say. I just don't have that education.
It's fine.
Okay. Before closing, I want to note for the record that our testimony did take less than
30 It's fine. It's fine. Okay. That's fine.
All right, but should there be any witness testimony that's related to another affidavit that has nothing to do with this charge, as shown in exhibit number 8, I ask that the board would allow me to continue my testimony in that area.
What'll happen next is this board will be talking, asking you questions.
I see.
Then we will call the witness for you, and then the city
okay.
will be
well,
calling you.
Well, I hope that I've answered all your questions as best
You've
as I can.
You've done very well.
We're
still, any questions from the board at this moment? Why don't we wait till later? That's fine.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really, really appreciate this opportunity to show that we have a very responsible canine citizen here. This is not a norm, you know, I don't think. You know, we spend a lot of time working with this dog. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. I just have a few questions for you. Just a point of clarification, at the time that this incident occurred on August 14th, Carson was wearing the e-collar, is that correct?
He was wearing both the e-collar and he was on the leash.
Okay, all right. And you had admitted today, and I think you all admitted in your affidavit, that Carson did pull.
He broke the leash. Sheer strength of the desire to play.
And you also admit that Carson did latch onto Jackson's neck as part of the encounter.
For the reason of provocation due to leash aggression.
And do you know what was in your dog's mind?
No, I don't. But we do have an expert canine witness.
The witness can testify to that. But you don't know what, you have no personal knowledge as to what your dog was thinking.
Nobody knows they're animals, they squabble, you know, they're not humans. We all know.
But you don't dispute that Carson did latch onto Jackson's neck and cause injuries.
Oh, we know that. The evidence is very clear that he did latch on to Jackson's neck. And no sutures were present, probably because of the thick fur. I'm answering the questions. Thank you.
And
you
also in your affidavit, do you have a copy of that, or do you?
I do, but if you have it there, then it'd probably be easier for me to see. I'm going to see papers all over the place.
And for the Animal Control Board members, the Steinhorn's affidavit is Exhibit 9. I need to have additional copies. Because I made you go look at that. Who prepared this affidavit?
My wife and I prepared this affidavit. I took notes, reviewed this affidavit.
Okay. And this was submitted to the city on August 19th, 2018, is that correct?
It was submitted after I told Jennifer, the other officer, that I needed to prepare this because of other obligations I had.
Okay.
That I would submit it on the day I did submit it.
Okay. And I'm going to turn your attention to page 2 of the affidavit. In the second paragraph, you do talk about Parsons' credentials as a graduate of obedience training and community involvement as a therapy dog at Suburban Hospital. Did you see that?
Yes.
That language. But then you go on to say that such information is not relevant to what happened. Is that correct?
I say that because we were talking, I believe Chief Fridgen was talking to the incident. I was trying to indicate more than just a speck of time, you say, is the purpose of that statement. More than just a speck of time, 30 seconds, doesn't represent the life of the animal more any more than it would for you for 2 minutes. Gosh, for the assumption.
I understand that. And you also, I think, testified that after the incident, you and the Greens, the owner of Jackson, that you did communicate that there were texts and emails.
Absolutely.
That went back.
I didn't put it as evidence, but I have all that information. We'd like to see it.
We do have copies of those, and we will be putting those into evidence. So I'm going to go ahead and turn to these were not included in your agenda packet, so we would mark these as additional exhibits.
Right, I have the same thing.
The first document that shows up with phone number and digit at the top, what exhibit number? Yes, what exhibit number is that?
That's the one with the phone number at the top, the 452-6405.
Yeah,
which wasn't redacted out.
That's exhibit 22?
22. And then the second one starts with first. Thanks for closing. Is that exhibit 23?
Exhibit 23.
Okay. Jeffrey Steinhorn, dated August 15, 2018, at 9:09:20 a.m. And that will be exhibit 24.
I'm sorry, can you please say again which one it is?
It is an email that says from Jeffrey Steinhorn, date August 15, 2018.
Okay, I thought you said 18. I
apologize. Okay,
yes,
24. So that'll be
exhibit
24. All right. And Mr. Steinhorn, you've seen all these text messages.
Yes, I wouldn't say that since that isn't that so long ago, you know, I'm intimately familiar with them, but certainly I did.
Okay.
They're well formatted and I believe, considering the situation at the time, highly charged emotional situation, that it reflected thinking at that time, yes.
All right. The first document, which has been marked as Exhibit 22, is the text messages. Now, those are texts between Bridget, who is your wife, correct? And Miss Green,
correct? Yes,
sir.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. And on the third page of that, your wife did say, in reference to Carson, he reacted fast and I lost control of the leash. Is that correct?
Yes, he broke loose, is what I said, yes.
And on page 6, And I think this is a response from Ms. Green to your wife. She states, Parkin charged him and latched right onto his neck. Do you see that language?
Yeah, she used the language of that language, yes. She used it in her affidavit.
All right, if we want to turn to the second. Second document, which is Exhibit 23, and that's at the top it says Ray, aggressive dog, exclamation points.
So this is Exhibit 23, the number that's in the list, or you just?
No, that we just marked as Exhibit 23.
You just marked it. Oh, I didn't, okay. If I could have turned things into.
That's okay, no. This is the document.
Yes, I think
okay.
So.
All right, I just want to make sure we are on the same page. I'm going to turn your attention to page 5. Of that document, and this is a response from Ms. Green, and that states, but Carson attacked Jackson today. It was totally unprovoked, and then he would not let him go. Do you see that language?
I see that language, yes, ma'am.
Yes, all right.
I see that language, but...
That was from Mrs. Green to your wife, correct? Or to you,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes, that was during human conversation when two were agitatedly talking and the dog... They couldn't see the eye contact that was on with the dog.
I'm just asking if that is the statement that Ms. Green made in this correspondence with you and your wife.
Oh, yeah, you can see it.
All right. Thank you. If we could turn to the last document, which is Exhibit 24. And this is a response from you to the document that we just reviewed, correct? Response from you to Ms. Green.
As a result of what you, what will continue, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, there's an email string here,
right,
between you and.
Once I was able to get her email, I didn't have it, so I used the social media to get it, so that we could responsibly communicate and do what we needed to do, veterinary wise, and to help her as best we could.
And if I can turn you to of course, with email streams, you kind of have to work backwards. The second page is a response from Mrs. Green to you, and at the second paragraph, she states, additionally, your description of what happened, the second page.
Oh, I get it.
Second paragraph. Additionally, your description of what happened is inaccurate. While Carson was in a down position, he came across the path to Jackson. And it goes on to say, it was at that exact moment that Carson bolted to our side of the path. Nothing Jackson or I did contributed to or justified to this event.
Did she also say so? I tightened up on Jackson's leash.
Yes, okay. Yes. All the language is there. And then in two more paragraphs down, Ms. Green is saying to you, two facts cannot be disputed. One, Carson was aggressive. He had Jackson in a hold and would not let go. Two, Rajit was unable to control him. You see that language?
Well, at that time, once that was the situation, I mean...
I'm not asking you for an explanation. You see that language, and that was what
yes.
Ms. Green did send to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then if you turn back to the first page, this was your response to Ms. Green's...
The first page?
Yeah. Was your response to the email that we just went over from Ms. Green. And you'll see at the beginning of the second paragraph, you state, we understand your situation and agree with your description. So at that point, you were agreeing with her description of the incident, correct?
I was agreeing with her description, and I tried to explain from our argument perspective. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I have no additional questions, but I would move for introduction of Exhibits 22, 23, and 24 into the record.
Yes.
Then in terms of the record, they would be deemed admitted into the record. That's stated.
Thank you.
That was the end of my questions for Mr. Steinhorn. I believe he was going to call an expert witness.
All right, Mr. Steinhorn. Your witness is going to be coming in now to help you.
Okay. She should sit here so she can be recorded, right? If we're recording. Sit here.
Is this microphone also working?
Oh, I guess that mic's on. Yeah. Give me a second. you sit?
Please. You're already sworn in, but if you can please state your name, your address.
Hello, my name is Jill Murphy. I live at 2069 Case Road, Dundalk, Maryland, 21222.
Jill, would you, may I ask you the question now? Please, this is
you're in charge.
It's all me. Could you tell me why you are considered to be an expert canine witness?
My name is Jill Murphy. I've been a police officer for 19 years. In that 19 years, 15 of them I worked closely with animals. I was a certified canine handler with the Baltimore City Police Department. While I was a canine handler, I attended and was certified through Pennsylvania Working Dog Association. I attended a 3-day police working dog seminar in Virginia Beach, Virginia, featuring Dutch police canine instructee Henny Bolster in 2014. I also attended a three-day course hosted by the Association of Prosecuting Attorneys outlining animal cruelty crimes and animal behavior in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 2015. I was certified in animal cruelty investigations through Maryland State Police. I was responsible for starting the Baltimore City Police Department's first animal abuse unit, which was focused on animal cruelty crimes and dog fighting. I was the lead investigator in the animal abuse unit, where I worked very, very closely with Baltimore City Animal Control. I often would ride with animal control officers and assist them in their investigations.
Joe, would you tell us how you know Carson? Nobody's hiding anything.
I've known the Steinhorn family for about 10 years, and I've known Carson since he was adopted at 12 weeks old.
Based on your canine expertise, how would you classify Carson's disposition?
I've watched Carson grow up to be a very well-behaved, mild-mannered dog. I've seen Carson interact on numerous occasions with other dogs without incident. I would not classify Carson as a dangerous animal.
Can you please tell us about leash aggression and what possible outcome could happen if it's invoked and how a canine handler might avoid it?
Based on my above-mentioned certifications, being a canine handler for 15 years, I'm very familiar with leash aggression and the possible outcome. Leash aggression is when a dog feels trapped, being tethered, also can be described as cornering an animal. When an animal is cornered, it decides either it's going to fight or flight. Combined with the nerves of the handler, will add to the decision-making process of the dog. A dog can sense emotion and the tension from the handler and will react accordingly. One way to avoid leash aggression is to take the dog out of this current situation it's in.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before?
The only thing I'd like to add is based on the information in the agenda packet and the testimony of Jeffrey, in my opinion, I believe that this incident could have been avoided. I feel that the handling skills of Becky provoked Jackson to becoming aggressive on the leash. As Becky approached Carson in a down position, Jackson was pulling and surging on the leash. Becky pulled Jackson back, giving him no slack in the leash, giving Jackson no escape, as a result, causing Jackson to fight. Once the two dogs had contact with Jackson in the fence drive, causing the dog squirrel.
You can ask me a question now.
Thank you, Ms. Murphy. You have no personal knowledge of what occurred in this incident, correct?
No.
So you're not there, you didn't witness anything. All right, and I think you said that you're a longtime friend and you're a co-worker with the Steinhorn's daughter, correct?
Correct.
Yes. All right. I think you testified as a Baltimore City officer, you do investigate animal cruelty cases, correct?
Yes.
Are you also involved in determinations of dangerous animals in Baltimore?
No, I'm not.
Are you familiar with Baltimore's dangerous animal ordinances?
I'm familiar with it.
All right. I'm going to ask you some hypothetical questions. I'm going to ask you based on your knowledge of Baltimore's ordinances, because you know, earlier, I would not expect you to be an expert in Gaithersburg's ordinances. How does Baltimore define a potentially dangerous animal?
Through animal control, it is different from the Baltimore City Police Department. Animal control has their own list of rules and regulations, differ from the police department. I work for the police department. However, I do assist in animal control. Animal control does, according to their and their rules is just any type of dog that has aggression towards other dogs or people.
Isn't it true that Baltimore doesn't have a potentially dangerous animal designation? They just have a dangerous animal and then a vicious animal designation.
I think so.
And if it will help you, give me a copy of Baltimore's ordinance.
Oh, sure, of course.
Under Baltimore's law, a dangerous animal is one that has bitten or attacked a human being or another animal without provocation. Do you see that in the ordinance?
Yes, ma'am.
Or exhibits aggressive or dangerous behavior that is not adequately confined or restrained. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to ask you some hypothetical questions under Baltimore's ordinances. If there is credible evidence that a dog bit another dog without provocation, would that dog be considered a dangerous animal under Baltimore's ordinances?
Yes, ma'am.
And that would be irregardless of prior behavior of that animal, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you consider a dog charging another dog and biting it to be aggressive or dangerous behavior?
Yes, but in certain circumstances, there's always, every situation is different.
If a dog was on a leash but the owner let go of the leash, would you consider the dog to be adequately restrained?
No.
If there is credible evidence that a dog charged another dog and bit it, and the owner had let go of the leash, would that dog be considered a dangerous dog under Baltimore's ordinances?
Yes.
That's all the questions that I have.
Ms. Murphy, you were describing leash aggression. Who are you saying, was it Jackson that was showing leash aggression, or Carson that was showing leash aggression, or both?
Under my knowledge, it was Jackson showing the leash aggression.
And you're describing leash aggression as fight or flight, that Jackson was lunging at the leash, causing a ruckus?
Correct.
And then Carson took off after him?
Well, at that scene, the way it was explained to me is Jackson was pulling on the leash, surging, showing it was aggressive. And once Carson released himself, Carson was already on Jackson.
What type of aggression was, what was the reason? So if Jackson is showing leash aggression, what was Carson showing?
I think at that time Jackson was showing leash aggression, causing Carson to want to defend himself.
So Carson defended himself by running towards the other dog.
Actually, the way Jackson was pulling and surging, the time lapse and where the dogs met, there was no time for Mrs. Steinhorn to pull Carson to stop the dog squabble from happening.
So you're determining that aggression, well, there's either fight or flight. So Carson decided to.
No, that was Jackson.
I'm just talking
Jackson
about
Jackson being
so
tethered.
Jackson was tethered. Jackson, according to you, was showing leash aggression. Carson, at that point, decided to.
Jackson was approaching the dog. I think he was deciding to play, and then while Jackson was surging, that's when Carson bit him.
But at least according to the testimony and what we've seen written, Carson went some distance to
get to Jackson.
He went in a manner of play with the dog. Carson's not an aggressive dog.
But the first thing he did to play was latch out onto the dog's neck.
No, Jackson was the one showing the aggression.
But the first thing Carson did to play was latch onto his neck.
Oh, as far as it goes, yes, that is what happened.
Thank you.
Can I ask one follow-up question based on the chair's question? What was your understanding of how far the dogs were apart and before they started to come together? Or do you know?
I honestly couldn't tell you for sure.
All right,
are you done?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me think of a question. The path is only 4 feet wide. The leash was 6 feet long. The dogs were no more separated than 4 to 6 feet at the time.
I'm going to object. He's continuing testimony, and this is cross examination of this witness.
Do you have more questions for Ms. Murphy?
So, if I hear you correctly, and maybe you stated it incorrectly, Carson approached Jackson to play based on body language from Jackson, and that the leash aggression caused the provocation in the form of growling and snarling, which caused Carson to defend himself.
When Becky pulled back on the leash, giving the dog no slack to make a decision on his own, the dog decided to get into a fight or flight position. The dog decided to fight.
And that was
showing aggression. Yes, by snarling and growling and surging on the leash. The more surging, the more Becky was able to pull the dog back.
And the screaming?
Well, that right there would go back to the emotion. The dog can sense the emotion of the handler. And based on the emotion of the handler, the dog could sense that there is a lot of stress. And it caused the dog it showed stress in the dog as well.
So you're basically saying that it's all Jackson's fault for feeling the emotion?
No,
I'm
not. No, sir. I do, however, believe that has something to do with the incident.
Real quick clarification, Mr. Steinhorn, your dog was on a 6 foot leash or was it a retractable leash?
I would never use a retractable leash.
Was it a 6 foot leash?
The dog was on a 6 foot leash, and we know that the dog left his downstay because.
That's fine.
And
I just want to know about the leash.
I'm saying, you know. Yes, no, we know where the law is.
Do you have more questions for Ms. Murphy?
No, I just wanted to be sure that you understood that, in her opinion, she may have thought that the provocation. I mean, look, if Carson hadn't broke loose, it wouldn't happen.
It's fine. We got it.
Thank you, Joe.
Do anybody else have more questions for Ms. Murphy?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're up.
We will call our first witness, which will be Ms. Green. I believe she's out in the hallway. Where do you want Ms. Green to?
I think last time we did this,
okay. They
traded.
We'll just move it. We'll move another chair up.
Thank you. Mr. Steinhorn, just for procedure, Ms. Board's going to ask Ms. Green questions.
Excuse me?
Ms. Board's going to ask Ms. Green questions.
Yes, sir.
And then you will have a chance to ask questions when she is done.
Okay.
Ms. Green, you've already been sworn in, but if you can please state your name and address for the record.
Rebecca Green, 918 Rockbourne Street, Gaithersburg, Maryland.
And Ms. Green, are you the owner of a golden retriever named Jackson?
I am.
And how old is Jackson? How long have you owned him?
He turned 7 in August of this year, and I've owned him since July of 2017.
And prior to this incident, had Jackson ever been aggressive with other dogs?
No.
Has he always interacted well with other dogs?
Yes.
Have you ever observed Jackson torment, tease, abuse, threaten, or assault another dog?
No.
Have you observed Jackson exhibit aggressive or attack demeanor to another dog or person?
No.
Can you tell what happened on August 14th?
I was walking up the path towards Lakelands Drive. Jackson was to my left on a short leash. a Steinhorn was walking towards, you know, and coming the opposing direction with her dog, who got into a down position. I asked her if he was friendly, and she said, quote, "He is, but he plays rough." So I said, okay, let's not tangle them up. And I held Jackson even closer and wanted to keep walking. And at that instant, Carson bolted from her, you know, from her charge, bolted. And I remember going, hey, because he came bolting right in front of me and lashed in to Jackson's right, to the right side of his neck. I tried to separate them. I was screaming for help. I was saying, get your dog off my dog. Jackson was pinned and was crying. I ended up getting on the ground with them, which my vet said was the wrong thing to do because I could have gotten injured myself. I was banging on Carson's head, saying, well, get off my dog. I was worried about Jackson's flesh being taken away. I mean, Carson was so dug in to Jackson. At that point, I remember Miss Steinhorn above Carson holding on to some sort of collar and trying to get him to go. I don't remember her using any verbal commands whatsoever to release. I was the one saying, let go, let go, let go, let go. At that point, two women came running to out to assist. Jackson's leash, his collar had come off. And at some point, Carson did release. And I said, just get your dog back. Just clear him out. She walked Carson away about 20 or so feet. The two ladies, I was amazed that Jackson stayed with me. The ladies got his collar on. I asked for her number, and I took Jackson home and immediately to the vet.
When Carson first came towards Jackson, about how far apart were you?
We were at a diagonal, and I would estimate probably 10 to 12 feet at a diagonal.
Was Jackson lunging at Carson?
No, he was directly on my left side.
Okay. And did you prepare an affidavit in this case? I believe it's exhibit number 6.
I did.
Okay. I'll show you a copy of it. Is that the affidavit that you prepared?
It is.
And does that accurately reflect what occurred on August 14th?
It did. I did notice that it didn't. The copy didn't print out all the details, but I did. They are my words.
Okay. And there are some photographs that are attached to that affidavit. Are those photographs of the injury to your dog, Jackson?
They are.
And. Were those photographs taken on the day of the incident?
They were.
And I think you said that you did seek veterinary treatment,
correct? Immediately afterwards, yes.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as exhibit number 10 in this case. Is that a copy of a letter from the veterinarian that treated Jackson?
It is.
And you received that from the veterinarian, correct?
I did.
And there are some additional photographs in that picture. Were those taken by the vet's office?
Yes.
And did those accurately reflect the injuries that Jackson received?
They did.
If I could turn your attention to the letter from Dr. Gibble. And she states that the inflammation swelling surrounding the wounds as well as their location indicates significant force with the intent to do harm. Is that correct?
It is.
And did you and Dr. Gibble discuss that?
We did.
And what was her opinion or belief?
She was... felt that Jackson was lucky that more harm was not done, and said that it was very clear that it was, you know, that it was a very aggressive attack.
and I don't see that because we just received that today. Linda, this is a new exhibit.
Okay.
So I'm assuming we're going to mark this as exhibit 25. What treatment did Jackson receive as a result of his injuries?
He received oral and topical antibiotics. I believe he also received an injection. And he had a whole slew of medications that we needed to take home, and topical and then steroids that I needed to apply.
And then did you have to go back and see the veterinarian as a result of these injuries?
We did.
And the email that is dated at the today's date from Dr. Gibble, does this accurately reflect the additional treatment that Jackson received?
It is.
How's Jackson doing today?
His physical wounds are healing. Just, you know, he had the additional rash from it. His emotional wounds are still there, and I fear that they'll be there for a long time. Just this morning, I was walking him. I'm always cautious with him, with other dogs, and he's curious about them. But when dogs are excited to see him and they charge at him to play, his immediate response is to back off and get really scared. And it just happened just this morning at the corner by my house, and a little dog wanted to play and charged in a playful way, but he flew back as a protective stance, and we just kept them apart. So it is something that he's very cautious on his walks, and I believe his emotional wounds will be there for indefinitely.
And did you contact the Steinhorns following the incident?
I did.
Okay. And there are a series of exhibits that actually were introduced earlier, but I want to show them to you again. There are exhibits 22, 23, and 24. Mm-hmm. Take a look at those. Mm-hmm. Are those the various texts and emails that you had between you and the Steinhorns?
They are. Okay. Mr. and Mrs.
Mm-hmm. And the Steinhorns did pay the veterinary bills for Jackson,
correct?
They did. And through these emails and texts, did Mrs. Steinhorn admit that she lost control of Carson's leash?
She did.
Mm-hmm. And in response, you stated that Carson charged him and latched onto his neck, correct?
Correct.
And in correspondence with Mr. Steinhorn, did you say that Carson attacked Jackson and was totally unprovoked?
I did.
And did Mr. Steinhorn respond that he agreed with your description of the situation?
He did.
And did you and your husband meet with the Steinhorns on August 15th?
Mr. Steinhorn.
And what was the purpose of that meeting?
They wanted to pay for the bill, and he wanted to do it in person, and he wanted to come over and meet with us. I didn't have much interest in having a lengthy conversation. He really wanted to show us pictures of Carson and talk about his temperament in being a therapy dog. To me, that was an irrelevant fact. How he is in a nursing home, is it relevant to how he responded to a complete calm dog on a walk? And my dog was severely injured from it. So we listened and had a conversation on the porch. My husband is witness and is outside and can testify that the only thing that I said, that I spoke, I said there are two undisputed facts. One, Carson attacked my dog unprovoked, and two, Mrs. Steinhorn did not have control to prevent or to stop it. And he agreed on the porch in my house.
And he being Mr. Steinhorn.
Mr.
Correct?
Steinhorn.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you would like to tell the Animal Control Board?
Well, that was one thing that I wanted to say. I already said the other thing. And the other thing that I said, Mr. Steinhorn said to us on the porch that night, is that this will be the last time that he owns this breed. That evening on the porch, you said, this will be the last time that I own this breed.
Last time that I own this breed.
You can ask questions later.
Thank you. I have no additional questions for this witness.
Mr. Steinhorn, you can ask questions.
What do you mean by the last time that I own this breed? I don't.
That's what you said on the porch, that you won't own this breed again, that you would adopt a different breed of dog. You said that, and my husband can verify that you said that. In the conversation, that Carson was the aggressor, and that Carson and that Mrs. Steinhardt did not have control over him to prevent it or to stop it. And I did not ask you if you had liked having the breed. It was not in response to a question of mine, but I more clearly remember you saying, this is the last time that I'll own this breed. You know, you can,
did you have
I,
any
I,
other,
I'd interpret
did
that.
Did you have any other questions for her?
I do not recall that conversation, although
objection.
It was in the emotionally charged.
I understand. Just do you have any other questions for anything else?
Wait a minute, let me look at my notes. I mean, no, I know you wouldn't rephrase the question. No, I'm going to say that we are entitled to our
okay.
Thank you.
Next witness.
She can remain at this point. We had intended to call Mr. Mentz, who is Ms. Green's husband, but he would testify to the same thing that she just said regarding the meeting, so I don't know that that's necessary.
I guess the only reason to come in would be if he heard what she would.
Yeah,
if he heard what he said.
All right, we'll call him anyway. He'll be very quick. So our next witness will be Craig Mentz.
If you could please state, you've already been sworn in, but if you can please state your name and address.
Craig Mentz, 918 Rockbourne Street.
And Mr. Mentz, are you an owner of Jackson?
Yes.
And were you present when Mr. Steinhorn came to your house on August 15th?
I was present. I don't remember if that's the exact date, but that sounds about right. Okay.
And can you describe to the board what Mr. Steinhorn told you about the incident in Carson at that time?
Sure. I mean, he came over, definitely, he was apologizing for what happened, felt bad about it. Since he wasn't there, he had heard, I believe, from his wife who was there. I'm not sure if there was some misinformation that had been conveyed. I know he apologized. He said, they usually don't, I guess they adopt dogs. They wouldn't adopt this breed again. And if you just felt bad about what happened. It was about a half hour discussion.
During that meeting, did Mr. Steinhorn admit that Carson was the aggressor in the incident?
Yes.
Did he also admit that Ms. Steinhorn did not have control of Carson?
That she had lost control. She had control, I think, initially during the initial, before they met.
Thank you. I don't have any additional questions.
Mr. Steinhorn, do you have any questions?
No. I went to the house to me.
Okay, that's fine. Just as long as there are questions. Next witness, please.
You can stay. Jennifer's Quirer.
Hello, Officer Sequoia, if you can please state your name and your position with the City of Gaithersburg.
Officer Jennifer Sequoia, Animal Control Officer 1. I work for the City of Gaithersburg Animal Control.
And as part of your job, did you respond to an alleged animal attack on August 14, 2018?
Yes.
And did you prepare a report with regard to that incident?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what's been previously marked as Exhibit 5.
Is this no?
That's in the packet. And does that report accurately reflect the investigation that you performed as a result of that call?
Yes.
So on August 14th, did you meet with Mrs. Green?
Yes.
And did you request that she complete an affidavit?
Correct.
And her affidavit is part of the agenda packet. Have you had the opportunity to review her affidavit?
Yes.
And is that affidavit consistent with what she told you on the date that you interviewed her?
Yes.
And did you observe Jackson on August 14th?
Yes.
At that point, had they returned from the vet?
Yes.
And what was Jackson's condition?
He was, the injuries were definitely there. And, parts of his neck were shaved, making the wounds visible right away. The wounds have been treated by a veterinary practitioner. The dog was then already on the antibiotics. You can see where they had stitched up a few. So mainly the dog was in stable condition. And the dog did appear to be very friendly, like nothing happened. good, just calm demeanor upon approach.
On August 14th, did you also meet with Mrs. Steinhorn?
Yes.
And during that interview, did Mrs. Steinhorn say that the leash restraining Carson had slipped out of her hand?
Yes.
And did she also say that she was not holding the leash as tight as she should have been?
Yes.
And did she also say Carson latched onto Jackson's neck and was not letting go?
Yes.
Did she also say she did not witness any physical provocation from Jackson, allowing Carson to react in defense?
Correct.
And that's documented in your report, correct?
Yes.
Did you have the opportunity to observe Carson on the 14th?
I did.
Did you observe any injuries on Carson?
No.
Did you observe a scratch on his muzzle?
No.
Did you pet Carson and interact with him at all?
Yes, I did.
Right. But you did not observe any injuries?
No.
Did you ask Steinhorst to complete an affidavit?
I did.
And that affidavit is part of the packet. It's marked Exhibit 9. Have you had the opportunity to review that affidavit?
I did.
And is that affidavit consistent with what Mrs. Steinhorn told you on August 14th?
No.
And in what ways is it not consistent?
She stated there was physical provocation, and that is the result of why Carson attacked Jackson.
And that was inconsistent with what she told you on August 14th?
Correct.
I have no additional questions.
Mr. Steinhorn, do you have any questions?
Could you repeat, what do you mean by physical provocation that Bridget said?
Physical provocation, as in so Jackson physically attacked Carson prior to the... Jackson physically attacked Carson prior to the to Carson then responding with another attack. As in, Ms. Steinhorn then stated in her affidavit that Jackson must have physically provoked Carson because Carson would not have attacked Jackson if he was not physically provoked.
I understand. That's in keeping with leash aggression. Anyway, thank you.
No problem.
You
know. Any more questions? For you?
No. I mean, we're dealing with...
Okay, that's fine. Your next witness.
My name is Trevin Long, Manager of Animal Services for the City of Gaithersburg.
And as part of your job, have you been designated the responsibility for deeming potentially dangerous animals?
Yes, I have.
And did you deem the Steinhorn's dog, Carson, as a potentially dangerous animal?
Yes, I did.
And the document that's been marked as Exhibit 4 that's in the record, is that the letter that you prepared deeming Carson as a potentially dangerous animal?
That's correct.
And did you prepare this letter?
Yes, I did.
And did you personally serve it on to the Steinhorns?
Yes, I did, on August the 20th.
And what information did you review to make your determination that Carson is a potentially dangerous animal?
I based this determination based off of the evidence that I received in the case report, as well as the vet letters and the two affidavits from both parties.
And the two,
as
sorry?
As well as the photos.
And the two?
The two affidavits, witness statements from both parties.
And why did you deem Carson as potentially dangerous?
I deemed Carson potentially dangerous due to our city code, chapter 4, section 4-5A. The first was because, according to our chapter, according to our chapter, it says any animal that chases, approaches in a threatening manner, otherwise menaces a person or another domestic animal in a manner exhibiting an aggressive or attack demeanor. That first one I based off of Officer Sequeira's report, and then once I received the affidavit from the parties, that was a contradicting story from what was told in the initial investigation. The second was if you look at section 4-5A2, any animal with a known propensity, tendency, or disposition to attack without provocation person or other domestic animal in a manner which has threatened the public health and safety of such persons or domestic animals. Also based it off of the incident that I do believe through evidence that the bite was unprovoked, and since the bite incident did happen, that would be a tendency, it could be a possible tendency to, Carson could be a possible tendency to attack another animal without any type of provocation.
And you said that you reviewed the letter from the veterinarian. Did anything in that letter concern you?
What originally concerned me was prior to then, I spoke to the vet over the phone. She pretty much went into a lot more detail about the incident. What really stood out to me is what she put in the letter, that she believes that the bite incident, the bite wound that Jackson had received was from Carson pretty much putting a lot of pressure onto the wound, which means that it could have been deliberate.
And are you requesting the board this evening to uphold your determination that Carson is a potentially dangerous dog?
That's correct.
And why is that?
I do believe, like I said, stated before, I do believe that this incident could happen again. The whole point of deeming a dog potentially dangerous is to ensure public health and public safety. Since I saw that there was no provocation from Jackson for Carson to latch on to Jackson, I do believe that this incident could possibly happen again, and the city tries to prevent this from happening again.
In making a determination that a dog is dangerous, do you base that on the facts and circumstances of the incident itself?
I base it off of whatever evidence that is given. So that's the case report from the officer, that's the affidavit statements, vet letters, you name it, whatever comes in that's relevant to that exact incident, I use it.
Thank you. I have no additional questions.
Mr. Steinhorn, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. These officers were not there.
Questions.
The question. Were you there to witness the potential provocation?
No, I was not.
Did you ever notice Carson to be of a mild demeanor?
What he's testifying, Mr. Steinhorn, what he's basically testifying is to the affidavits by his officers that were questioned, your wife and other people. So this is not his. He's testifying to the affidavits that were in his hands.
Okay, that's fine. Then I would say no. I don't have any further questions.
And Mr. Chair, if I might add, to answer Mr. Steinhorn's question, I did include that in my report as well of how I examined Carson when I first arrived.
Any questions?
The city has no additional witnesses.
you can have a closing argument.
May I ask for just a 3-minute break so I can use the bathroom, please? Thank you.
What did you say? Sorry?
I want to raise.
You want to raise?
Yeah. You deserve it. You're exemplary.
Just volunteer in case anybody was interested. Steinhorn, you gave a very informative opening statement. This is just more of a summation, trying to tidy up some points.
Right, I understand. It was a 3-minute allocation. First of all, I want to thank the board for hearing our reasons for appealing Carson's incident. I want to tell the Greens that you know that we are sorry about the incident. It's not something that we would have ever, ever in our lives imagined it could happen. And I'm very happy to know that Jackson is well on the road to recovery. Based on Carson's exemplary training and socialization history, We respectively request you revoke Carson's designation as a potentially dangerous animal, recognizing the incident as an unfortunate provoked animal squabble. Now, I say this based on my expert witness testimony. We as lay animal owners, walk our dogs, do the best we can. We love our animals. But we don't know everything there is that the experts know. I do not believe that Carson, based on what we know about our dog, would have done much else than want to play with another dog. I think if he was going to charge at Jackson, he would have been pulling my wife's leash. He wouldn't have been on a loose leash. He wouldn't have been in a downstay position. He would have just gone. I mean, really run after this dog. I do believe that the dog wanted to play. I do believe that this speck of time that occurred happened so fast that it's very difficult for lay people to make a judgment call as to whether or not who knows what leash aggression meant. I myself would have maybe not known it if I hadn't heard expert testimony and or researched such a type of aggression that could possibly provoke a dog. Pit bulls are pretty strong by nature. I seriously, and that's what I would like to say. I really hope that you understand our situation. And I thank you for your volunteer service. Also, now that I understand better, I mean, I've never ever been involved in a hearing of any nature. I do now understand the procedure. But I apologize if there was any.
You're fine. Procedures are sort of, as you can tell, it's my first time leading this thing. And you're sitting over there.
Right.
We sort of know things later. I've been on the board for 24 years. This is my first time leading. I apologize.
Okay.
Anyway, Ms. Board.
Thank you. And I also want to thank the board for hearing this case this evening. When the board reviews the incident that occurred on August 14th, there are several facts here that are undisputed. First, that Mrs. Steinhorn lost control of Jackson. There are multiple statements that Jackson pulled off of the leash. Second, it's undisputed that Carson latched into Jackson's neck, and it took considerable force for Carson to be released. And third, that Carson caused serious injuries to Jackson. As noted in the veterinarian's report, the wounds indicated, and I'm quoting, significant force with the intent to do harm. And that came from the veterinarian. So based on these facts, we believe it's clear that Carson both approached Jackson in a threatening manner and otherwise menaced him in a manner exhibiting an aggressive or attack demeanor, and that he has the tendency or the disposition to attack without provocation another animal in a manner that did threaten the health and safety of that animal. And again, those are the factors under the city's ordinance that you need to look at. I do want to talk about provocation a little bit because there's been testimony on both sides with regard to provocation. Mrs. Green clearly testified that Jackson did not provoke this incident. Today we heard testimonies from the Steinhorns that there was some provocation from Jackson. But you do need to look at all of the statements and evidence that are in evidence. Mrs. Steinhorn, when she was interviewed by Officer Sequeira, did admit that there was no provocation. They're in the emails that you look at. When Ms. Green explained what happened, Mr. Steinhorn agreed to those facts. And then also in person, when they met on August 15th, the day after this incident, you heard the testimony from the Greens. What Mr. Steinhorn said, and that admitted that Mrs. Steinhorn had lost control, and that Carson had caused the injuries and the attack. So there was some different testimony that was presented this evening, but again, you need to look at all of the evidence, and I believe that it is clear that as far as provocation, that Jackson did not provoke this attack. You also have to look at there's two separate basis for the allegation or the finding of a potentially dangerous animal. Under 4-5A1, provocation is not part of that charge. Under 2, it is. I certainly laud the Steinhorns for their attempts, all of the work they have done with Carson and their training, but that is really irrelevant in this case. The way that the city's ordinance works is you have to look at the incident itself, what occurred on the day of this incident. The training and the action plan that they presented may go to the issue of what you determine the penalty may be, but it doesn't relate in any way to a finding of whether Carson is a potentially dangerous dog. As I said during my opening in this case, that the Steinhorns have the burden of proof in this case, and that is under the board's rules of procedure, section 7M. And they have to prove, they have the burden of proving that the deeming of Carson as a dangerous animal is an incorrect determination. I don't believe that they met that burden of proof when you look at all the evidence that was before you this evening. The evidence is clear that Carson did attack and bite Jackson with such force that the parties had difficulty getting him to release, and Jackson suffered those significant injuries. As a result, we would respectfully request this board to uphold the determination of the animal control officer. Thank you.
We will be discussing in a few moments the evidence and discussion. We will probably have a decision out in the next couple couple weeks. Usually it's within a week. You're very efficient.
It's actually supposed to be within 7 days unless practically more time is needed.
Within the next week, a decision, you will have a decision.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.